Absolutely. I mean, I think it's very much a politically revolutionary novel in all sorts of ways, and actually in very, very complicated ways. So, but to try and sort of simplify the complexity a little bit, one of the things to say about Frankenstein, because it's also one of those things we often forget about this novel, is that it's published in 1818, as I keep saying, but it's actually set in the 17, well, we don't know quite when, but it's the 1790s. It was 17 and then a long dash in the novel. And that's critical because, of course, this is that's a gesture on Mary Shelley's part to situate this novel quite literally within the time of revolution. So it's published after Napoleon's defeat, after the Napoleonic Wars, but it's set during the height of the French Revolution. And that's very significant, I think, for understanding the novel, for understanding some of the ideas that are muted in the novel. So there is a way in which I think we might want to think about Victor Frankenstein himself, this incredibly, as we say, ambitious, actually idealist, utopian thinker. I mean, his aspirations are ones towards making the world a better place. They orient themselves towards a kind of utopian world of the future where there is no death, where there is no grief and loss, because Frankenstein, like Shelley herself, was beset by loss earlier in the novel. Frankenstein's mother dies in it. Almost every woman in that novel actually dies. And he wants, in a very sort of crude way, I suppose, to make the world a better place. And there is a way in which the novel links that quite clearly because of some of the places that Frankenstein is situated. Some of the geographical spaces that the novel inhabits are linked very closely with revolutionary idealism, with the kind of political utopian thinking that was associated, for instance, with Mary Shelley's own father, William Godwin, in Political Justice. Parts of the novel are set in Geneva, and Geneva is the very famously in this period is associated as the place of residence of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the very, very famous French philosopher and writer who's thought about as the kind of often thought about as the kind of intellectual father of the French Revolution. So that setting of the novel in Geneva, that's not accidental, that's an allusion, that's a context, a political context for thinking about the novel. But of course there's other ways in which the novel is thinking about what's happened to the revolution, where all that idealism has gone, where it's all gone wrong since the 1790s when the novel is set, to this post-Napoleonic time when the novel was actually written, where obviously the revolution has turned into something very different from the political reality that was initially imagined. It's long after the Terror, long after the Napoleonic Wars. So that's certainly very important to the novel. But I would say also, of course, it's really important to think about the kind of other revolutions that the novel is responding to, particularly thinking about the scientific revolution. I mean, that's obviously incredibly important to the novel. Mary Shelley was extraordinarily widely read and was very conversant with some of the most recently published work and public lectures around scientific debates about galvanism, for instance. So that's a science associated with Luigi Galvani, and who had done some experiments by putting electrical currents through frogs' legs and seeing them seemingly animated by the current. You can see how that has an applicability in thinking about the bringing to life of the creature in Frankenstein. But more importantly, I think the novel is also very interested in some of the recent to the novel debates that were taking place about what we think of as a debate about vitalism versus materialism, which is to say, is life something that's inherent within us? Like, is it a material physical property that could die, but then potentially could be reanimated because it's latent, it's there materially in the body? Or others who are arguing for a more metaphysical understanding of the body, thinking, understanding life as something that might be associated with a soul, with something that is external to the body and therefore could not be reanimated in quite the ways that materialist ideas and notions of the body and life force could do so. So she's very much thinking very critically. This is the important thing. She's not just parroting these debates that are out there. What Frankenstein does is it engages critically with these debates. It thinks, what are the repercussions of these kinds of thinking in the world of real people, in the lives of real families? What good can they do? But more pertinently, perhaps for Frankenstein, what damage do they do to real people, in real families, in real communities across Europe?